had ever before a game told his players they had no chance to win?
Wow. You think Bruce Pearl will try to get involved with that Memphis job, Keith, if it opens at the end of the year?
If I were stuck in Auburn, Alabama, I'd try to get involved with the Memphis Melrose job if it came open.
Your contention is that Bruce Pearl will not coach in Thompson Bowling Arena in 2 years.
Not if they have anything that resembles success next year, he won't. The only way he makes a return trip to Thompson Bowling Arena is if they stink again next year.
Which they won't, because he's got a lot of talent coming in.
Mm. Georgia, those guys actually end up in school.
Georgia just escaped Alabama with a huge win. Georgia goes to 17-9 on the year, 8-6 in the league, and that's a gigantic win, 66-65. Alabama 16-11, 6-8. And
it's
how much time. Longer are they going
to
sit there and watch
it's about
Anthony
time
Grant?
For Anthony Grant.
I mean,
I think
that
it's about
guy
time.
Sucks.
It's time. They've given him, and you know, one thing nobody can say he hasn't been given ample opportunity.
And support. Look at the crowd in that place tonight.
He's been in the top half plus of the league in compensation the whole time he's been there.
Tonight. Yes.
He can't complain. He's a guy and he seems to be a class guy. And I think when they run him at the end of the year, which appears to me to be pretty obvious it's going to happen, I think he'll stand up and say, hey, they gave me every opportunity. I just didn't get it done.
You think Shaka Smart could do it? You think Shaka Smart could do it away from VCU? Or do you think that's just one of those deals? That's just one of those special places?
I think that's
an
open question. I mean, you and I have had that discussion before, Tony. There are some places like there, mm-hmm. Western Kentucky. I mean, mm-hmm. that's where Dennis Felton came. That's where mm-hmm. that's where that guy came from. That's where Darren Horn came from. Mm-hmm. Murray State, even mm-hmm. though Mick Cronin's been pretty good and Billy Kennedy's doing all right. There are places in those mid-majors, Tony, everybody that coaches there wins because they're set up to win.
Yep.
I mean, Murray State, VCU, Tulsa for years.
Yep.
Now, granted, everybody won at Tulsa, but then most of those guys other than Steve Robinson and Buzz Peterson went on to win elsewhere.
There are some great mid-major jobs out there. And then there are jobs like what Marshall did at Winthrop, and he was stuck there all those years.
Yeah.
They haven't even made a peep since he walked out of there.
Well, I mean, it's the reason. That's the reason that, I mean, you can complain. I mean, I'm still befuddled, and of course he went off on this yesterday. I'm still befuddled why everyone is so eaten up with a Final Four being vacated about a guy taking money from an agent. But yeah, there are places, though, where nobody wins. So when somebody does, like you said, with Greg Marshall there, I mean, what Cal did at UMass. I mean, nobody's ever really done anything at UMass other way.
That's incredible.
And even more amazing is to do that in a major conference. Look what Jim Calhoun did.
Yep. They had nothing. Connecticut was
nothing. Well, and, you know, certainly didn't do it for near as long or as successfully. Look what TJ did at Seton Hall back in the day. I mean, in as tough a league as there was, and that's the thing. And
that's no question.
And that's one thing, and that's why I give Bruce Pearl credit where credit's due, not as much for what he did here, but for what he did at Wisconsin-Milwaukee. I mean, they made a Sweet 16, and Bo Ryan built it up a little bit to where it was at least a respectable program that Pearl inherited, but I mean, they really did nothing before and nothing since.
Back to the phones we go. Let's get our next call in here. Hello and welcome. Smartway, Dalton Behring and Hydraulics, Tennessee basketball overtime on a Saturday night. Hello.
Hey, Tony, it's Tom.
Hey, Tom, appreciate you being there.
It has been way too long, my friend. I hope you are well, my friend.
Oh, it's great to hear your voice, man. Thank you.
Tony, I don't like to go the way of the officiating, so obviously I'm about to go that way. But if that's indisputable evidence, please tell me that none of those guys wearing black and white stripes tonight are ever going to sit on a jury that would decide anything more than a littering case anytime, anywhere on the face of this planet. If it's a 50-50 ball, I get it. But to go in there and say, without question, you got that call wrong, it is just a logical leap that I don't think a gymnast on steroids, on caffeine, could do.
I couldn't agree more with that. And that's my problem with replay. My problem with replay is, and we see it time and time again with replay, you give these guys that are supposed to be sharp-eyed and very good at what they do, and I think officiating is probably the hardest thing to do in sports, and I think it's more one of the more underrated crafts that we see out there in sport because the really good ones are really worth holding on to. However, in college basketball, night in and night out, you see a poorly officiated game, and it's inconsistently officiated. Tonight, I'll point to another, and I'm going to bitch about officiating tonight because it wasn't terrible. But there was a case tonight, Keith, where, and tell me if you guys remember this, where Josh Richardson is thrown to the floor on Tennessee's offensive end, and it results in a three ball going the other way and by Moody. After throwing Richardson to the ground, and there's no call. And it's just so inconsistent. But back to the replay.
Was that the sequence where Josh came right back and hit a three?
Correct. He comes right back down because he was pissed. He got thrown down, and then he comes right back down and hits a three. He asserts himself and hits a three there. That's exactly in the sequence where that occurred. Point is, though, that's not called. There's no consistency. Carol Lawson says, and she's been around that game, and I think she does a nice job, and she said there is no way they're going to overturn that. There's not enough there. There's just no way. If you could see it, she said, you overturn it. You can't see that. You can't tell.
Well, here's my point, Tony. If the standard is indisputable video evidence, I'm pretty sure if you have to look at it for 5 minutes, that kind of answers the question for you.
That's great, Tom. And Tom's right, and Keith is an attorney, Tom. And Keith would tell you, you don't want those guys on the jury after seeing that tonight.
No, I would hate to see what their definition of beyond a reasonable doubt is.
And just one final thing about that, and I rewound this a couple times. Right before, maybe 3 seconds before they came back and blew the whistle to show that they were overturning the call, the official who did that just kind of shrugged. And I don't know if it was to say, we could call a held ball here. It's going to go to Ole Miss anyway. Why don't we just do I don't know. I'm not going to delve into that. That's not why Tennessee lost the ball. That shrug was just kind of telling. Tennessee didn't lose the ball game because of that call.
No.
Absolutely not. And I'll tell you another reason, and this is my next point. Another thing that didn't cost Tennessee the game was coaching. Donnie Tindall outcoached Andy Kennedy for 40 minutes. And I'm not an Andy Kennedy hater, but I believe Donnie Tindall out-coached, out-exed, out-owed Andy Kennedy for 40 minutes. That last play was proof. If you go back and look, the spacing, the options that Richardson had, that's the kind of play that we should have seen drawn up last year against Michigan in the Sweet 16. That was an ideal play. Tindall needs to be given all the credit in the world for that call, for drawing up that play. And I have no qualms with the shot. I have no qualms with the play. The spacing was excellent. You could see the options that we had. It was just a well-designed play, and it just takes some patience to get some of our guys in here because Ole Miss right now, like it or not, outside of Texas A&M, nobody seems to want to grab that number two spot in the SEC as far as who's the next best team behind Kentucky. And maybe Ole Miss has done it through that inflated, terrible out-of-conference schedule that Andy Kennedy loves to feast on, but that may be the second best team out there, or at least they're in the top three or four. And Donnie Tindall had him out-coached. Am I totally off base?
No, I don't think you are. Look at the teams that we've been on the ropes. Look at the teams we've had on the ropes. We had Arkansas, as talented as they are, on the ropes, on the road. We had Ole Miss tonight on the ropes, on the road. Obviously, we're curious to see how this team plays at LSU. It would not surprise me at all if Tennessee goes there and scares them. And I'm with Keith. I think Tennessee can win at Florida if they hit their shots. Keith, do you buy what Tom's saying that Donnie Tindall took his lunch money tonight, though he didn't win?
Well, I thought Tennessee's game plan was what it needed to be. I don't think there's anything there that can, from a coaching standpoint, that Tindall could have done differently, other than maybe never putting Dietrich Mostella in the game.
And boy, what happened to him? I mean, just if anybody wants to, maybe there's something there about the coaching, but his development, maybe it's hitting the wall. You can't say there's a lack of development there because it's too soon to tell. We don't have a big enough sample size to see as far as developing talent and that sort of thing, but Mostella is definitely not improving. I think that's being generous.
Yeah, he's hit a wall, man. I mean, it's
yeah,
the point.
But he is a freshman. There are a whole bunch of freshmen that have lousy freshman years.
Yeah, and he's a guy, Keith, who you made the point before. If you have the luxury of more talent, you just shuffle him off and let him disappear for a little bit and find himself in practice. But we don't have that luxury here. We've got Willie Carmichael on the floor.
On a properly constructed roster with enough time to really recruit for a couple of years, if you've got a healthy roster, Willie Carmichael, Tariq Owens, and Dietrich Mostella rarely, if ever, see the floor.
Yeah,
right now.
But you know what Dietrich Mostella is, Tom? He's a great example of why in the summer, and we're going to do it with these newcomers they sign, the five or six newcomers for next year, we're going to do the same thing where everybody gets all excited about what they do in that Rocky Top League. And that Rocky Top League is a great way for guys to stay in shape, and it's a good way for kids to get autographs. And it's a good thing to do to kill a summer night if you want to go out and watch some athletic guys and some of the pros in Europe come back and play. I think it's a great thing for the community. In terms of basketball, it is complete and utter stupidity. And you can't tell one thing about a guy from watching that.
No, there's no question. It's kind of like watching an NBA All-Star game.
Correct.
Every night.
Great analogy.
And what good does that do?
Great, and that's a
what good does that do?
That is a great analogy. That is a great analogy. And I appreciate you, Tom. Thank you. Go ahead.
One final thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
I have to do this as a loyal Predator fan. I have to tip my hat to your Flyers tonight, pulling out the shootout today in today's matinee. And, let's meet again. Let's meet again in late spring, early summer for Lord Stanley's Cup. What do you say?
I think the chances of that are remote. I think the Predators have a very good team. I'll tell you how good the Predators are. The Predators had today, I believe they had 11 shots through two periods and still came out in the first minute of the third period and tied the game. And I think they finished with less than 28 shots total. And
something like that.
And should have won the game today. They didn't. They played a C-level game and almost got out of there with a win on the road. They are very good. Pekka Rinne is incredible. I think they have a chance to win a Stanley Cup, and I'm saying that with a straight face right now.
There's no question. There's no question. I mean, this is right now, with the exception of the last two games, probably the best team.
Yep.
Skating right now in the NHL. There is not a team out there, and it's Lord Stanley's Cup could be coming to Rocky Top.
Thank you, my friend. That would be so fun.
Thank you.
Thank you. I would absolutely love that.
I'm pretty sure that's one of the signs of Armageddon.
By the way, Keith, I think both teams in the pro sports in this state have a chance to have really long runs, and then at the same time, things are so competitive in both sides of the ledger, the West in the NHL, the West in the NBA, that both could go out in the first round, too, with a particular matchup. You just don't know in either one of those sports, but both of those are up for grabs right now.
I wouldn't claim to know enough about the Western Conference in the NHL to speak intelligently about it, but... No, in the NBA, any of the eight teams that whoever makes the playoffs is will have a chance in the first round. There won't be any. I would be stunned if there are any 4 or 5 game series in the Western Conference.
Donnie Tindall tonight said, "I'm really proud of our effort." He said, "But this is really getting old." You can tell from Tindall that it's wearing on him. He's not used to this any more than Bruce Pearl's used to the losing. It's not wearing on Bruce Pearl either. I mean, this year has aged him 10 years if you look at him. That thing down there at Auburn. Now, Keith, they've recruited really well. They'll be much better next year, right?
I think they'll be better. I don't know that. I mean, how bad would they be right now without the little run? How bad would they be without KT Harrell and Antoine Mason?
And you
see Ross Miller.
And you're calling us, going back from an hour ago, you're calling us a lock for the NIT?
No, I think if Tennessee, if all they win are the two home games, I think they'd have to win at least 2 games in the SEC tournament.
Would we be competing with Kerry Keating in the CBI?
Yeah, that's hard to say because different schools seem to have different opinions on the CBI, whether or not they would accept a bid or not.
Mm-hmm.
I'm of a mind that if Tennessee finishes, say, 16-15, say they win out, or 17, let's say 17-15, they win the two home games, lose the two road games, go to Nashville, win a game, lose a game. If they don't get an NIT bid, I'd shut it down until next year. The CBI, the CIT, all that stuff, I don't even think the CIT takes major conference teams. So I'm not a big fan of that idea.
Hatfield, do you like the way ESPN is now using their own stat instead of RPI? It's like quarterback rating. Do you like what they've done?
I absolutely love it. ESPN does that all the time. They've got that quarterback rating they use in the NFL that they just
QBR, and the sheep use it now. Sheep will quote QBR to me, and I'm like,
"Oh, this whole
no, that's an
thing.
ESPN creation. What's ESPN call it?
Oh, the Basketball Power Index,
BPI.
Which had somebody, I don't remember who it was, looking at it. I look at it just because, okay, it's another metric. Let's see what it looks like. The thing is, it's got some wildly different, it'll be interesting to see at the end of the year, and we'll see once we get to the tournament and once we see the field, because they've got some wildly different things than the RPI. They've got some teams in the BPI that are like 19th, that in the RPI are like 50.
ESPN just does it better. They know they're, they're like your favorite elected official, either party. They just know better than you. They
right.
know more than you. They're smarter than you. We don't need a quarterback rating.
They have a knowledge and expertise beyond what we do, Tony.
Back to
Maybe Dave Hart invented the BPI.
Back to the phones we go. I think he wanted to give the BPI more money, the guy that invented it, more money, but the guy only settled for a certain amount, so... Let's get our next call in here on Tennessee Basketball Overtime presented by our friends at both Smartway and Dalton Bearing and Hydraulics. Hello.
Hey, Tony. Hey, Keith. This is Davis.
Hey, Davis.
Hey, I just want to say love your all show. Love what y'all have to say after every game. Try to get in and listen whenever I can. And,
thank you, man. I appreciate you being here. I got to say...
I love the old rivalry between Don and Smitty. I think that's just great.
it's our radio version of Alabama Auburn.
It sounds about the same, really. I mean, I love it because, you know, honestly, Don's got about the same effect as about NyQuil. So when Smitty gets on there and just calls him out, I just love it.
Thank you for the call. Appreciate you, Davis. Have a great night. 865-200-5402.
Poor Don.
I think Don's an excellent caller.
I appreciate all our callers, Tony. Otherwise, people would have to listen to us drone on.
Back to the phones. David Murrell says, your show tonight on the app on a Saturday night is like Vol therapy. After a tough loss, hey, thanks. Mark Adams said, Mostella reminds him of Juwan Smith as a freshman. You can see the potential there. Lots to learn. Let's go back to our phones, Gary, next call. Hello and welcome.
Hey, guys. It's a mouthpiece.
Hey, MP. I hear that little one there in the background.
MP Jr.'s not too happy with the loss tonight. He's not used to losing on the road.
Well, if I know MP Sr., he ain't taking it real well either.
That's right. Two observations, Keith. The first observation, I was listening to Corsi on your show yesterday, and he was talking about how officials just love to call a charge when a player's making a basketball move to the goal. Robert Hubbs did that in the second half, and the Ole Miss player just stepped over and wasn't set, and they called a quick charge. And I thought of that comment as soon as that happened.
Oh, I think that's one of the main problems in college basketball. Is I'm almost to the point that they need to start ejecting guys for flopping.
Well, it needs to quit being an anticipation game with these officials. And I agree. I appreciate the officials because it is a tough craft. But it's almost like they're trying to invent ways to make the game better and more exciting. And I think they're doing the exact opposite, personally. Really, really disappointed with the game tonight. I don't have anything good to say, so I'm not going to rip.
Why are you disappointed? Why are you disappointed?
Another one we left on the floor.
Yeah, that's my live blog I'm going to put up there.
Yeah, it's
so frustrating. You know, it's so frustrating.
We did better early on than we probably should, and it was fool's gold, but it was euphoric for a while, and, you know, now 2-7 in our last 9 SEC games with a last-second shot to go to overtime on one of the wins. It's been a collapse. Probably a collapse that could be expected, but it's been a collapse. Second thing I was thinking on that out-of-bounds was that, boy, the SEC needs to get more teams in the tournament. This thing's getting overturned. And I think I even tweeted that out, and sure enough. So.
Now, that's interesting. Tennessee was fodder tonight in the specter of raising another team's resume. That's interesting. I hadn't thought about that. Wow, that child's really not taking the night well. Now, who do you think's taking it worse?
Stephen Pearl sounded like tonight.
God.
I would hope he shoots free throws a little better, Steve Pearl, one day.
Interesting.
Guys, according to my sources, Peter Poker at any moment in time is going to make a return to the airwaves.
Really? Peter Poker's coming back?
That's what my people are telling me.
Is he going to fill the hole left by GovBone in my life?
Apparently, Jay Bay is wanting to do a show with him.
With Peter Poker?
Yeah, I think it's called Paid on Demand or... what they call that when you pay them when it's paid on delivery.
Thank you, MP. Have a Dwight Gooden. You are a clown. Your baby sounds adorable. Thank you, man. That's fun. Kevin Punter. Josh had a clean look. Yeah, I was open. But he still had a clean look. And it almost went in. Kevin Punter seems like a good kid, doesn't he, Keith?
Well, you could see their reaction at the end of the game. I mean, I've seen that situation happen at the end of the games where it looked like guys were going to fight right there on the floor in that situation, and punter just walks over and they say, hey, those guys are both smart enough basketball players. They realize what they're playing against and what they have. And punter strikes me as a player that would have really liked to have taken a win or lose shot right there, but he's not going to complain. He's also a smart enough player to know it's never a bad deal when your best player gets a good shot at the end of the game either. So
I thought the charge call wasn't a problem. By the way, I thought the charge call on Hubbs was a blatant charge. Now, I think there are examples of what DeCourcy talks about in the anticipatory charge call, which does further serve to make the game more low scoring. DeCourcy's really thought provoking.
Oh no, I'm to the point, Johnny, legitimately. If an official sees a flop, instead of giving the old get up that they always give or the play on signal, throw somebody out of the game. Throw them the hell out of the game.
Back to the
fence. You do that a few times, guys won't be acting as if they've been hit by a sniper from the balcony every time somebody gets within 2 inches of them.
Keith, you're presented tonight by?
Our friends at Clancy's Tavern and Whiskey House in downtown Knoxville. next to the Historic Tennessee Theater.
How many times have you seen the inside of Clancy's this week?
I was actually in there last evening, Tony. Mm-hmm.
Did you give them a little business or a lot?
Oh, not a huge amount. I had some things I had to do this morning, Tony.
Oh, very good. Keep it family oriented. Let's go to our call and get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, brother, how you doing?
Man, I don't call it a total collapse like our previous caller, man, because this team's gonna fight to the finish. It's not a finish we wanted, but the season, we can run the table 4 games and, take our chances in the tournament, man.
So you're still looking for thinking NCAA tournament?
Yeah, man. I'm not going
to. Why not? Hey, crazier things have happened. You're going to have to win the rest of them, though, T.
We have to win the tournament. Is that what you're saying?
No, I mean you better win the rest of the regular season games left, and then get a couple in the SEC tournament, get to about 20 wins, and you can get in. Sure, we can get in.
Okay, so you're just gonna try and go along to get along with my call. You don't believe that.
Do I believe it's going to happen? Absolutely not. But if it happens, sure. But you're going to have to. Tennessee's going to have to go to LSU and win. Going to start with Vanderbilt, beat Vandy in South Carolina here, which I think probably happens. Although the way we've played at home, who the heck knows? For whatever reason, we don't shoot the ball well in our building. Going to have to go to Florida and win, which I think could happen. You win the LSU game down there and you go into the SEC tourney on a 5-game winning streak, sure, anything could happen. Absolutely.
I know it, man. If one player, if you could just say, I know, excluding Ernie and Bernie, one other ball to go with this current team, I know any program could say that, but who would you pick, man, to go with Donnie Power T's first round balls?
I think you are onto something. If this team had just a little bit of scoring, just a little more outside shooting, I think the Kentucky game could have been different too. And I think a bunch of these games could have been different.
Yeah.
Just one more player.
Excluding Ernie and Bernie Cho.
Oh, there are any of 100 former Vols that could help this team. Heck, somebody talked about Juwan Smith on the timeline tonight. A guy like that would make all the difference in the world on this team.
Yeah, I agree. Junior and senior. Juwan Smith.
Right on.
What about you, Hatfield?
Give me C.J. Black or Chisholm or one of those guys to where you've got something that at least resembles a post game.
Yep. See, this team has so many needs.
Oh, yeah, C.J. Black, man, he's really a lot better in the annals. If you break it down, but he's one of those who couldn't get to the NBA. Like a Wayne Chisholm, man. Those guys kind of mirror each other as far as getting the shaft because they don't have a Regal Society college uniform on.
CJ was never the same player after he hurt his knee. I mean, he just never seemed to get his explosiveness back, but no. And you're talking about getting some scoring, Tony. Stick Isaiah Victor with this group.
I'm telling you, that'd be a great show topic because you could take, I'm telling you, you could go 100 deep and help this team. 100 deep in former Vols.
Well, Willie Burton would help this team.
100 deep.
Yeah,
guys.
Willie would. Millen G.A. Millen G.A. Bro.
Willie Burton, Howard Wood. I mean, hell, Dan Fetterman would help this team.
I'm telling you, you could go 100, 100 deep.
Yep. It would just be fantasy like it is anyway, but I would say minus Ernie and Bernie, I would go Jimmy England, the point guard. I mean, he's a floor general and can fill it up. I mean, he's F troop, double F troop, floor, fill it up. But,
How about that?
That would integrate this team. I can't go there. I can't go there. I'm a racist. So,
hey, TR, on my show, hey, TR, you can go anywhere you want to go on my show.
Oh, no, man. I'm just saying, man. I love all Tennessee basketball.
I agree.
And when we didn't have a black man on the floor and I was yearning for one, and now it's come full circle. I'm yearning for some cream in my coffee. Go Big Orange and, see you in the big dance there, Bobby Huggins. See you in the big dance there, Hatfield. I mean, Bobby 761 Huggins.
Do you think Keith Hatfield is cheering harder for Bobby Huggins or the Vols, TR? What do you think?
Hey, it comes down to nuts and bones. He bleeds orange, man. But, you know.
Yeah. Did you hear him snap on the Kentucky fans the other night?
Did you hear Bobby Knight tell that?
Yes! Sit down! Hey, say Sonny! Hey, Sonny, sit down! So great!
Hey, is Bobby Huggins Bobby Knight disciple or what?
Yeah, what is Bobby Huggins' line, Keith?
His line's pretty much his dad. His dad's is probably, if he's not the greatest high school coach in the history of the state of Ohio, it doesn't take long to call roll of who's ahead of him.
Could we have gotten Bobby Huggins at any time, Keith, during this run?
Oh, sure. For sure. We could have hired him when we hired Wade Houston. Could have hired him when we hired Pearl.
We could have had him.
I would trade Butch Jones for Larry Brown. Wouldn't you, Hatfield? Right now.
Make a trade right
Butch
now, man.
Butch for Larry Brown. TR's hot tonight. TR's digging him out. Hey, TR, I hear from some sources that you had an incident with a noted Knoxvillian the other night in the Thompson Bowling Arena. Can you confirm nor deny that to me?
I don't know. It could have been any number of, Tar Heel fans masquerading as Tennessee fans like Deerstone masquerading as a Tennessee fan.
The picture of Deerstone we saw, KTR. How much orange did he have on?
I believe it looked like he had an orange shirt on, but you know, man.
No, he didn't. I don't know, man.
He
didn't have a speck of orange on, TR.
And he left at halftime.
That was the shine.
Hatfield documented that.
That was the shine, TR, that we saw off the head of the other Doc Staley. That was the orange in that picture, TR. And Doc Staley's orange to the core.
I know it, man. I know it. He's the man. I loved it when you would let him substitute for you, him and that other dude.
Yes, Beretti. You remember that.
Yes, that was some great radio, man. But he's if he's not your cup of tea, there's other people that kind of frown on him. But I always appreciate Doc Staley, man. I always appreciate that man.
TR on the way out, and it's been an incredible phone call by you. Would you like to rip Hatfield one more time for his love of West Virginia?
No, Hatfield, I know that deep down you want, you know, Willie Burton from Millen GA, and that says it all, man. Go Big Orange!
I can't believe I cut him before the woo! I feel like a heel now, Hatfield.
People wonder why I so fervently want this basketball program at some point to make a Final Four.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine what would be the TR?
It doesn't have a thing to do with wanting it for me. It has everything to do for wanting it for guys like TR.
This fan base has been through so much. By the way, UCLA, they have three guys fouled out in this game. 136 to go. A steal makes it 51-47. Hey, Arizona's not playing great basketball lately, are they, Keith?
Up and down. I think that's a product of that league. There's not really anybody other than Utah to give them much competition. I think they're probably almost as bored as Kentucky is in the SEC.
Boy, we have a tough crowd out there tonight. Somebody just said TR wants whiskey in his coffee, not cream.
Have you ever noticed how much that Sean Miller looks like a young Kurt Hennig?
Yeah, he does have those deep receding eyes along with the cross eyes. Yeah, he does.
I keep waiting for Scott Hall to walk out there in that Magnum with that Magnum TA mustache he used to sport in the AWA.
What about I used to love Scott Hall with the
Boris
mustache.
Zukov.
Yes.
Sheik adding on LKC.
The worst bad guy of all time was the bald headed dude that looks like Rob Halford from Judas Priest that used to put the claw on people. From the
Baron
AWA.
Von Raschke.
Baron Von Raschke weighed 95 pounds.
And that's all the people need to know. That was always the best thing. He ended every interview with that. And that's all the people need to know.
Let's go to the phones.
He was the best O-Nazi of all time, Tony.
The guy, also the guy that was from South Africa, that was the worst game.
Colonel the Beers was the bomb.
If
though.
You think wrestling fans got what apartheid was, you're out of your mind. Well, you think those illiterates in the Midwest knew what apartheid was?
Well, of course not, Tony. De Beers was on TV using the South African version of the N-word. ESPN obviously didn't know what it meant either.
Just a horrible gimmick. I'm telling you, you could go deep in Vol lore. I'm going to do it this week, and you could go easily 100 deep and find guys in the last 30 years that could help this team. Am I lying?
Oh, well, name any post player with a pulse, and they'd be able to help this team.
I'm talking about guys like bottom-of-the-barrel guys like...
Michael Curry would play serious minutes on this
No
team.
Question. Sean Sheffield would help this
Sheffield
team.
Sheffield would play on this team.
Alonzo Big Show Johnson would help this team.
Ian Lockhart would be a star.
Oh, no question. Ian Lockhart played the NBA. I mean, he would ball out on this
team. Carlos Groves. I mean, any post player of any, I mean, as much as I dislike the guy, and he may well be my least favorite Tennessee player of all time, Brandon Crump would help this bunch.
Ed Gray. I'll see your Brandon Crump, and I'll raise you an Ed Gray.
Ed Gray.
Hey, Ed Gray could bomb away. Steve Hamer.
If he still has all the stuff he stole out of KO's desk.
Do you think Stevie Hamer... Stanley Caldwell could help this team. Speaking of Kevin O'Neill.
Damon Johnson. I
mean, Damon Johnson could help this team.
Anybody, well, Shane Williams, because we'd have a point guard.
Sugar Shane Williams could help this team.
Aaron Green could not help this team. But other than that, I mean, you... Yeah.
Why do you rip Aaron Green?
Did I rip Aaron Green? I'm just saying that...
He could help this team be the point guard. What about my boy Screech? Could he help the team? Jordan Howe.
I think anybody that could play on the ball would help, Tony. Anybody who would let Richardson play the wing would help. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Ronald Davis would help this team.
I'm not sure about LaMarcus Golden.
No, you gotta at least be in the game to help the game.
The ball actually has to get into the front court for it to be effective. That's true. But Andy Ikeakor probably would not help this team.
One of the assistants over there used to call him Stanley Iadabor.
I mean, the story of his recruitment is the best story in the history of Tennessee basketball, other than Jerry Green talking to Tim Floyd in Kevin Stallings' kitchen.
Doug Roth would help this team.
Doug Roth would be absolute. With Doug Roth, with the senior, the version of Doug Roth that played at UT as a senior, this is an NCAA tournament team.
Kevin Nash could help this team.
Absolutely. Hey, always remember, runner-up to Magic Johnson for Michigan Mr. Basketball, Kevin Nash.
Dirty Green says 7th place would be the ideal spot for this team. Patrick Brown said they're one spot out of 9th or 11th in the league. They're one game out of 11th. 7th would be ideal right now where they are because it's on the opposite side of the bracket from Kentucky.
I don't even pay that much attention to the bracket since we went to 14 teams. Are we still doing the double buys? Or is it still where if you're in the bottom four or whatever, you've got to play like 15 games to get to the final?
Let me think about this now for a second. That's a Brian Hartman question. Back to our phones we go.
See, if this is going to be really cool, if you really go old school, I think Sean Miller should bring Medusa Michelli out with him sometime.
Medusa Alundra Blaze Michelli.
See, I have great respect for her. She was married to Rick Rude and Eddie Gilbert both.
Was she really? She was pretty, I thought, didn't you?
Yeah. And she could pick crazy, obviously. Much like Missy Hyatt.
Yes.
But I'm pretty sure was also married to Eddie Gilbert at one point.
Missy Hyatt now, I was getting ready to tell you what she's into right now, but you can find that on your own. Let's go back to our phones.
And if people have blocks and internet firewalls at work, they will not be able to find out.
Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome. Hello and welcome. Hello, are you there? I'm going to put you on hold one more time, and you're going to hear the phone click.
Hey, Tony. Hey, please.
Yeah, who's this?
Hey, this is Jones Jack. How y'all doing?
Hey, buddy, welcome. Speak up for us, okay? I can hardly hear you.
Okay, I'm sorry. Tony Queen, y'all there?
Oh, yeah, go right ahead, man.
Okay. Well, you know, just like a few of the callers ahead of me, I'm tired of these refs. And they call basketball just hard to watch, college, NBA, high school. They just take over all the games. And I'm sorry about that. And I'm just really done with it. And I just hope it changes soon.
I hate replay, and I hate it in basketball. I don't like it in football. If you can tell me tonight with a straight face, and I would love for the league office to tell me with a straight face tonight that was not anything but a 50-50 ball. And you know what? I'm with Keith. If you're going to be honest with me about it, be honest with me about it and just say, we flipped a coin, and this is what we came up with. They had to go to midcourt, Keith, on that play there and flip a coin.
Or just say...
Or alternate possession. Alternate possession.
Or just say, okay... We're going to go to the monitor, and if we think we got it wrong, we're going to change it. But don't sit there and say that you're working under some sort of indisputable evidence standard and then change that call.
Tony.
Yes.
I'll say a couple more things. Listen, I just graduated from UT.
Yes.
In December, and I'll say this. You need to go on campus and set up on campus. Students love you down there more than you think.
Me? I've got no. Students don't like me at all.
The students love you, Tony.
Are you kidding me?
They love you, Tony. Go down there and set up on the strip. You will have people flocking to you.
Are you kidding?
Go down there. Just go. Even if you think a 50 block, just go. It'll be hilarious either way.
All right, yeah, I'm gonna take you up on that because I gotta get the kids involved. That's kind of my that's my goal. How old are you, man?
22.
I love it. I love the fire in your voice, man. What kind of dog you have?
German Shepherd.
That's very cool. That's a man's dog right there, brother.
Yes, sir. And I'll one last point real quick. You know, everyone's all
fired up about Donnie, and Donnie does this, Donnie does that, how great Donnie is. But listen, until he makes the NCAA in his first year, like Bruce did, I won't be as excited as I was about Bruce. And the thing because I say that, you know, people say, you know, he doesn't have Chris Boston, he doesn't have Juwan Smith, but maybe Bruce did a good job of recruiting those guys and not letting them transfer as Donnie should have with the players that left. People don't think about things like that. And yeah, Donnie's doing a great job with what he has, but maybe he could have had more. Maybe he could have
I'll say this. I think he could have handled the Kofor thing a little differently. And if I were Donnie Tindall and I was in the spot he was in, I would have kissed the tail of that kid that went through Virginia, the point guard. Mm-hmm. Keith, I would have kissed his tail. Am I wrong, Hatfield?
He would have helped, but I don't think Darius Thompson makes this team better. I don't think he makes it substantially better.
I'd have kissed his tail. I think that's a good point you bring up. I think you're diminishing, though. Tindall's an excellent coach, and look at Bruce Pearl right now. Bruce Pearl was extremely fortunate to inherit the team he inherited. It's a good point you make, though. You know, the guy stayed for him, and Lofton had a decision to make. Lofton thought about getting out of here, but it's a good point you make.
Yeah, that's like my point. You know, why did they stay for Bruce? Is it because he was such a great recruiter, because he was a great motivator? Why did those guys leave when Tindall came on? You got to think about stuff like that.
Well, I'll tell you this too.
Where the hell was Juwan Smith going to go?
But one more thing, Keith.
Other than juvie, maybe.
Let me say one more thing about.
Oh, come on.
Let me say one more thing.
He's a good kid.
A great kid. He's wonderful. Let me say one more thing, Psych. Let me say one more thing about this past off season. Don't undersell this. Konzo Martin was getting in the ear of those former players and his people. They were encouraging those kids to transfer. Don't undersell that. I know that for a fact. I believe that. If somebody said, Tony, you put your hand on a stack of Bibles and say that you think that's true, I would tell you I think that's true. Okay? I think Konzo Martin, behind the scenes, was poisoning this deal on the way out the door for him. Okay?
And do you think that was because he doesn't like what Donnie brought?
I think he was pissed off. I think he was pissed off at what happened to him here, what he perceives happened to him here.
Okay.
And he was going to burn the deal down on the way out.
Okay. That's fair.
I'm just keeping it real with you, man. As real as I can keep it. That's what I believe happened. And I'm not sure anybody else who does what I do is going to say that, because we have to all play nice. But there's two sides to every story. When you start looking at why a bunch of kids left, some of them were poisoned.
Mm-hmm.
And the Kofor kid is the one I really wanted, and I think that deal was poisoned behind the scenes, to be completely honest with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I understand. I got your point there. All right, random last question for both of you. From this point, both of their coaching careers, both of their times at Tennessee, okay, scratch coaching careers, just at Tennessee, who has impressed you more, Donnie or Butch?
I think a jury's still out on both of them. I'm not. Either way.
No. You got to come on. Give me
Butch Jones's recruiting has been. Butch Jones is going to win here, so I would say Butch Jones to this point.
Okay, that's fair. Hatfield.
Oh, I don't think recruiting to Tennessee football wise is near as hard as people think it is. So I'd take Donnie Tindall.
Okay.
And how about you? How do you answer that? And I think it's a great question you ask.
I say that Butch's recruiting will take care of itself, and I think that even if he doesn't coach well on Saturdays, I think that he'll win games.
Absolutely.
He's playing in Tuscaloosa, but
yeah.
I think that Donnie has impressed, but there's no light at the end of the tunnel right now. Like, yeah, we see a spark of life and excitement, but there's no. I mean, we have two three stars coming in. There's no light coming in. You know, when is this going to end with the NCAA? When are we going to see these 4 and 5 stars that Bruce brought in? So that's why I say Butch.
I don't think you need 4 and 5 star players with Donnie Tindall's system to win, though. I think you're going to see that. Now, you need more than 9 players. See, this year, if they would have had Woodson, if he would have just stuck around, or they could have gotten Dunk City in, The kid from Dunk City that the SEC office wouldn't let in.
Florida Gulf Coast kid.
Yeah, the Florida Gulf Coast kid. Or, and this is a big if, but again, we're back to this now. If the kid that I really liked would have stayed healthy and not had the injury, I think this year could have been a little different. And Tennessee would probably have a couple more wins. But they don't. This is where this team is. They're fighting to get in the NIT. I think Tindall's a heck of a coach. I think Butch Jones is a heck of a recruiter. And I think coaching is really important in basketball, and I think recruiting is extremely important in football. So, and I appreciate your call, man. You're a great caller. Good talking to you, brother.
Yes, sir. I'll see you on campus, Tony B in Hatfield.
I can't wait. Thank you.
Sounds good.
865-200-5402.
Sounds like we need to make a goalpost tavern run, Tony.
Interesting. Let's go back to the phones, get another call in here. Hello and welcome.
Fellas, what's going on? It's Dustin.
Hey, Dave, what's up, man?
Not too much. Your last caller, I can't really get a good grasp on what the point he's kind of trying to make, maybe, but if Butch could coach like Donnie and Donnie could coach like Butch, we could be on to something, because we all know the windfalls with, you know, Coach Tindall. I'm sorry, with Coach Jones. But, you know, a second ago, you guys were talking about former players. I think if you had Brandon Wharton his junior and senior year, we kind of finally started a lot of play to his potential, I think he's somebody that nobody really talks about with Tennessee, because his last 2 years under the green light himself, one Jerry Green, I think he could really help out the squad. I mean, because you see right now, Josh Richardson, he's slowly coming into a point, but it's just, you can tell he's just, that's not his thing.
100 deep, guys, you could go in Tennessee lore and find guys that would help this basketball team. 100 deep.
You could go over to Fountain City and pull the head coach off Central's bench, and he would help them right now.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
Keith, I was wanting to ask you, Keith, what's the deal with Armani Moore? Is he trying too hard where he's taking himself out of the game, or is he just, what we get from him is what we get? Because sometimes he's doing what he's supposed to do, then he just disappears.
Well, he's not a guy who can really shoot it, so his offense is going to be, it's going to be sporadic. And if people would defend him properly, I'm not really sure how Armani, other than off the offensive boards and in transition, would ever score. Why people continue to go out and guard him 15 feet away from the basket is a complete mystery to me.
Oh, absolutely. Do you think Braxton Bonds, if he could ever get eligible, he could really help, or is he kind of towards the end of the bench type of guy?
Well, he could play some minutes at point guard. If you're good enough to get, put it in, I mean, look at how thin we are as far as ball handlers are this year. If you're good enough to get a Division I scholarship anywhere, I mean, he was a scholarship going to be a scholarship player at Liberty. If you're good enough to be a scholarship D1 player, you'd get minutes on this team at point guard, I think.
Possibly, you're probably right. And you guys are talking about the Regal Society. Look at kids like Shavlik Randolph. That cat is still in the NBA. Is he still at Philly, Tony?
I have no idea. You going to ask me about the Sixers roster? That thing is a dumpster fire.
I think Shavlik Randolph may be in Boston, but for some reason, I'm thinking he was playing in the game I was watching last night.
But the point, Keith, and the point you're making is, if you play for UCLA, North Carolina, Duke, if you play for any of those teams, the Regal teams, you're going to land on the end of somebody's bench and draw a paycheck for years and years and years and years and years, and that is a recruiting advantage that those programs have.
Oh, no doubt.
Absolutely. Go ahead, Keith.
Oh, no, because half the GMs in that league have connections to one of those programs.
Yep.
I mean, what is it about the allure? Because, like I said, Shavlik Randolph, he's not NBA. Is it just simply because he's Regal?
Absolutely. That's the deal.
Wow. That blows my mind. You got that. Jawan Smith can never get a sniff.
That's a fact. Ron Slay, Wayne Chisholm,
Victor.
Never get a lick.
Victor. Yep.
Isaiah Victor, never get a look. Never get a lick.
I'm going to stand by my Ron Slay thing. I just don't think Ron Slay could pass an NBA physical, Tony. I just think his knee was bad enough that he was never passing an NBA physical.
Well, not just that, but I mean, what would his position be in the NBA? Because he's, what, 6'4"?
Yeah, Slay's bigger than that.
Well, I mean,
Draymond Green.
If Draymond Green can play in the NBA, a healthy Ron Clay could play in the NBA.
Dustin, I must ask you, what is the secret noise in the background there? I'm feel like I need to win a new car if I can guess it. Are you scraping ice in the background?
Actually, yes, Tony, I am. My wife dropped her keys this morning, and it's buried underneath slush and ice. And
no! You're digging in the snow for keys?
Absolutely. It's only set to the car.
You're a great husband. Promote your show tomorrow with that in mind.
I don't want to kill your show doing that, though, man.
Go ahead. Promote it.
Me and Jarvie Love, we're back. We're on 1180, for those who didn't know, from 11 to 12, 1180 WVLZ.
On Sundays.
Yes. Sundays from 11 to 12, and as it gets closer to football and stuff like that, we may be expanding to 2 hours. So
good for you, brother. Good luck to you. Have fun tomorrow.
I appreciate that. If it weren't for you, we wouldn't be there, man.
Take care, brother. Good talking to you. Did you get
sure and get cash, Dustin?
Did you get the secret sound, Hatfield?
Yeah. Yes.
Let's go back to our phones, grab our next call. Hello and welcome.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, Reggie.
Hey, Rod.
How's it going?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, Tony, buddy. Hey, Keith. How you doing, man?
Doing fantastic, Roger. Hope you're doing well yourself.
Oh, doing fine. Thanks, Keith. Tony, this game tonight, this, almost won, Tony. Came real close, Tony. Win this game, past short. I hate that it happened, but, you know, I was happy with the effort, Tony, not Tony, and at the end again, we came close again. Tony, I'm asking a question, Tony. What team, the Tennessee continue to lose, attack at the end? What Tennessee have to do to start winning
at the end, Tony? Recruit better players and have a deeper basketball team. That's all this is.
Yeah.
This is a deal where we just don't have enough players.
Right. I was happy with the effort and I thought that the call, that's what I asked about the call at the end, at the game, I thought at the end, was that your call, was it a bad call, you think, with that call at the end?
What'd you think, Roger? That's more important to us. What did you think of the call?
Sure.
Well,
I'm not sure.
Was it our ball or their ball? What do you think when you looked at the replay?
Yes and no. It was kind of hard to tell.
You're so nice, Roger.
Looked like it was our ball, but for sure. Yeah,
it was our ball, wasn't it, Roger?
I think. Sure.
Yeah, it was a horrible call by the officials, Roger. Right?
Yeah, I get it.
And how about this, Roger? Really horrible things should happen to those officials on the way home tonight for that.
No.
Don't you agree with that, Raj?
No. No. I don't want it to happen bad. That's not good wishing something bad on somebody at all.
Well, I'm surprised you wish bad on somebody tonight, but I guess there's really not much we can do about that.
Tony, have you ever built
a snowman?
Yeah.
Oh, one of my favorite things to do in the snow. I love building snowmen.
Oh, really?
Absolutely.
Okay. Keith,
I'm not a big snowman guy, Roger.
Okay.
Unless it involves some kind of beer or whiskey at the end, Hatfield ain't going to be out there in the snow building a snowman. Hatfield, I'm not trying to paint you up as a lush, but that's fairly accurate, isn't it?
No. Pretty much the only time I really enjoy ice, Tony, is when there are two cubes of it and a double jumping one.
Pretty good, Roger. It's pretty good.
Keith's funny. Keith is real funny. Ain't Tony? He's funny.
Looks aren't everything. Yeah, he is funny.
Yeah. Tony, what is going on with people? I've heard about Mickey. Why do people keep looking on Mickey for?
Mickey who?
You know what I'm talking about. I don't understand why.
Mickey Dearstone?
Yeah. Why do people keep missing on him for? You know, just...
Let me see, Roger. How do I put this to you in a way that you'll understand it? Because I don't want to sound mean.
Yeah.
People pick on Mickey Dearstone because he deserves it.
Really?
Yeah.
He does? Why? He don't deserve it.
Yeah, he does, actually.
No, he don't.
Actually, he does.
Okay, I can argue with you.
Well, I mean, Roger, you asked me why, and I told you why.